Standing at the edge of Devil's Dip's highest cliff, Rory Carter whispers to the howling wind, "My name is Rory Carter, and I do bad things." This moment captures the essence of a dark romance that explores the thin line between redemption and damnation through characters who are neither heroes nor villains, but something far more complex. What happens when two damaged souls recognize each other's darkness? When confession becomes seduction? When protection demands violence? The story unfolds in the shadow of the Visconti crime family, where Angelo Vicious Visconti returns to his hometown after his parents' mysterious deaths 9 years earlier. His departure left a power vacuum filled by his cruel uncle Alberto, whose fiancée Rory harbors secrets of her own. Their collision course begins with anonymous confessions and ends in blood and fire, challenging us to consider whether two broken people can find redemption not in becoming good, but in protecting what matters most. The Angels of Devil's Dip, Angelo, Raphael, and Gabriel Visconti, earned their nickname from their angelic childhood appearance, golden-haired boys in pressed Sunday suits singing in the church choir while their father served as deacon. This religious facade masked Marco Visconti's true nature as the local mafia head. He transformed the confessional booth into an intelligence operation, using parishioner secrets as leverage to control the town. This childhood experience shaped the brothers' worldview and inspired Sinners Anonymous, a confession hotline they created to identify and punish society's worst sinners. The operation runs from a high-tech command center beneath the old church, merging their father's methods with modern technology. Angelo's return to Devil's Dip serves a purpose beyond nostalgia, finding his mother's murderer. His calculated exterior, expensive suits, cold demeanor, ruthless business acumen, conceals a man torn between his criminal heritage and his desire to escape it. A conflict that intensifies when he meets his uncle's young fiancée, Rory Carter. Rory Carter lives a double life. To the Visconti family, she's Aurora, the beautiful blonde engaged to the older Alberto. Behind this facade is a desperate young woman who has sacrificed everything to protect what matters most, her father and the Devil's Preserve, the nature sanctuary where he has worked as a ranger for decades. Her bargain with Alberto is brutal, her body and compliance in exchange for her father's medical care and the sanctuary's protection. This arrangement traps her in a gilded cage, enduring Alberto's possessiveness while pretending to be a willing fiancé. Her only outlet is Sinners Anonymous, a phone service where she confesses her darkest thoughts to an anonymous listener. When Angelo finds Rory at the cliff's edge during a storm, seemingly contemplating suicide, neither realizes how their lives will intertwine. Their first encounters crackle with tension and mistrust, each recognizing in the other something dangerous yet familiar, a darkness that mirrors their own inner demons. The story's most distinctive element explores confession as both spiritual practice and erotic act. The phone booth where Rory makes anonymous confessions symbolizes vulnerability and release, with Angelo secretly listening on the other end, creating intimacy before they've truly met. Their relationship develops through increasingly intense confessional moments. When Angelo demands Rory tell him a sin, she reveals spitting in Alberto's whiskey after he forces a kiss. Later, in breathtaking vulnerability, she admits to pleasuring herself while thinking of Angelo. These confessions become a dance of power and submission, where revealing becomes as intimate as physical touch. This dynamic reaches its climax in a church where Angelo offers Rory atonement rather than mere confession. The scene subverts religious imagery as Angelo bends Rory over the altar, blurring lines between punishment and pleasure, sacred ritual and carnal desire. Their relationship becomes a form of sacred profanity, finding redemption not through absolution, but through embracing their sinful natures together. Angelo's protective instincts toward Rory emerge early, though he fights against them. When he discovers Alberto's abuse, he's torn between protecting her and maintaining distance from his criminal past. This internal conflict drives tension as Angelo makes contradictory choices, watching over Rory while pushing her away, helping her while denying his feelings. In the Visconti world, protection always comes with a price. Angelo demands confessions in exchange for taking Rory to visit her father. When he intervenes in Alberto's abuse, he expects her loyalty. This transactional approach reflects their criminal environment, where nothing is freely given. The dynamic shifts when Angelo witnesses Rory's heartbreak upon her father failing to recognize her outside the forest setting. His protective instincts finally overcome his self-interest, marking a turning point as he begins prioritizing her well-being over his plans. Protection also manifests as violence. Angelo kills Max after discovering his betrayal, though seemingly motivated more by Max's advances toward Rory than family disloyalty. Later, he teaches Rory to use a gun, showing her how to defend herself. The novel's setting creates a powerful metaphor for its themes. Devil's Dip and Devil's Cove represent two sides of the same corrupted world. One working class and authentic, the other wealthy and superficial. The dangerous cliff road connecting them, Grim Reaper Road, symbolizes the perilous journey between these worlds. Devil's Dip, with its rundown rusty anchor bar and close-knit community, represents Angelo's roots. Despite its poverty, it maintains an integrity that the wealthier Devil's Cove lacks. The locals' hostility toward the Viscontis reflects their resentment of exploitation masked as protection. Devil's Cove, with its ostentatious mansions and gaudy decorations, represents hollow wealth built on criminal enterprise. Alberto's mansion, with its gold-plated fixtures and knockoff Sistine Chapel ceiling, embodies superficial grandeur. Rory describes it as tacky, reflecting her disdain for wealth without substance. Between these worlds lies the Devil's Preserve, a sanctuary of natural beauty representing what's worth protecting. Rory's connection to this place goes beyond her father's presence. It embodies her authentic self, the part that remains uncorrupted by Visconti influence. The novel's conclusion unites Angelo and Rory as partners in both love and crime. After killing Alberto and claiming Rory, Angelo establishes himself as Devil's Dip's new power. Their wedding represents not just a romantic union, but a merging of their darker impulses into something stronger than either alone. Their relationship challenges conventional redemption narratives. Neither becomes traditionally good. They remain capable of violence and cruelty. Yet their love creates a moral center previously absent. They find redemption not by rejecting their darkness, but by channeling it toward protecting what matters. Perhaps true intimacy comes from finding someone who sees our darkness and chooses us anyway. As Rory tells Angelo when he questions what happens when two bad people love each other, magic happens, baby. In this twisted fairy tale, the monsters remain monsters, but monsters devoted to protecting each other in a world where conventional morality offers no salvation. The most profound connections can form not in virtue's light, but where broken souls recognize their matching, jagged edges and fit together perfectly.